4. Genesis chapter 24. Verse 32 through 34, and then jumping ahead to verse 49 for our scripture reading in our text. Genesis 24, 32, and the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, gave straw and provender for the camels, in water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. And he said, I will not eat until I've told mine errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. Then jump to verse 49. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. We saw in verse 15 through 28, Rebekah being revealed to the servant of Abraham as the one God had chosen, as the one God had provided to be the wife of Isaac. And when she hears this and all this is revealed to her, verse 28 tells us, she ran home to tell those of her mother's household what this man had said and the presents that he had given her to seal this part of the transaction. And we read last week in verse 29 through 31 that Rebekah had a brother. And verse 30 kind of surmises what happened when Rebekah returned, told those of her mother's family what had happened and what Rebekah's brother did. Verse number 30 says, and when he, Rebekah's brother, saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he, Rebekah's brother, heard the words that Rebekah had to say, when he saw these things and he heard these things, he came unto the servant of Abraham and says, why are you standing out here? Come home with us. Come into our home. We would like to receive you hospitably. And that's what we find in our text this morning. The man comes into the house. And he ungirds his camels and he provides for their needs and provender for the candles. And he washes his feet after the travel, great travel in dusty, dirty conditions. All the men that are with him, unknown how many, their feet are also cleansed. As he comes into the house, there's a feast, there's a meal prepared. And Rebekah's family and Rebekah's brother probably in particular says, come and eat. Come and partake of this meal. And the servants' response to that is, I will not. I will not sit down. I will not take meal. I will not take of what you have prepared for me until I have told you my mission. I will not pleasure myself until I tell you the mission that Abraham has sent me on. And until I reveal to you how the God of Abraham and my God has been working, bringing me to this place, I will not eat. I will not leisure. I will not please myself until, verse number 33 says, until I have told mine errand. several times in our coming through the book of Genesis, particularly in looking at the passages that deal with Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and the promised. The Lord has brought to our minds and emphasized before us the importance of staying on point. I've pointed the point out several times. And here, this servant of Abraham, he's going to stay on point. He's not going to be sidetracked. He's not going to be pulled aside for his own comforts. He's not going to be pulled aside for his own nourishment, his own relaxation, or his own provisions. He's going to stay on point until he makes known to the family of Rebekah his mission. I will not until. And again, without emphasizing it any further, God help us to see the need of our staying on point. There is a reason that the Lord has sent Jesus Christ to die for us. There is a reason that he has made Jesus Christ known unto us. There's a reason why in our hearts and in our times and in our places, he said unto us, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the earth. There's a reason he revealed all that to us and saved our unworthy souls. There's a reason and there's a purpose. And we need to know what that reason is and what that purpose is. And by the grace of God, every single one of us, man, woman, boy, girl, young or old, we must try to stay on point. The devil will seek to distract. The devil will seek to get us sidetracked. The devil will seek to get us consumed with the things of this world and the ways of this world. The devil, the flesh, the world will do everything in their power to get us off point. Maybe you're off point this morning. Only you know. Only I know for myself. Only we know for ourselves as individuals. I think about the messengers that were sent to Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was determined to get them into his home, was determined to receive them into their house. But you see in those messengers that they were going to stay on point. We have a message to declare, and we're going to declare it, and nothing's going to keep us from doing that. And that's exactly what they did. I'm not going to pleasure myself, satisfy myself, until I have told mine errand. I'm going to stay on point. What he's basically saying, and I want to say this morning, and I say it at the risk of being misunderstood, I say it at risk because I can't cover all the bases or remind you of everything maybe that you might needed to be reminded of. But this servant of Abraham basically says, I'm not here to have fun. I've got a mission. I've got a purpose. And folks, many people think we come together as a church to have fun. Amen. And the devil is getting many of his people sidetracked by thinking they're here to have fun and making fun the focus and not staying on point with why the Lord has made us a church and brought us into this place. Coming to church to me is fun. There's no place, I don't say this lightly or just in a cliche fashion. When I come to church, there's no place I'd rather be. And as it gets increasingly more difficult for me to be here and to do that, I still have a desire to stay on point. And no matter how difficult it is sometimes, there's no place I'd rather be than right here. In the house of the Lord, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, with my brothers and sisters in Christ. But we're not here to have fun. Abraham's servant hadn't taken a long cruise or a long vacation. He hadn't taken a long journey to have fun. He had gone that great distance to find the woman that would become Isaac's wife. And when it came to pleasing himself and satisfying himself, he says, "Hey, I'm not here to have fun. I'm here to tell you why I'm here. I'm here looking for my servant Abraham's son Isaac, a wife, a bride." I've told you recently on Sunday nights that you can summarize the reasons we're a church, the reasons we're here, and the reasons why the Lord's kind of church with proper authority still exists today. I've told you recently you can summarize it in 3 points. Why does Faith Baptist Church exist? Because this is the place where he would have us worship. We come together to worship. We come together, and God has made us a church and preserved us a church up to this very hour to be preachers and declarers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he has called us to be a church and preserved us up to this hour that we might contend for the faith of the Lord's kind of a church. We don't come together for fun, although it should be fun. I want to get that out of the way without any further clarification. We don't come together for fun, and that shouldn't be our focus. We come together to worship the Lord. We come together to maintain the preaching of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sinners. And we come together and we stay together as a church to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And we can't get sidetracked. We can't lose our focus. We can't get off point. We can't get focused in on doing that which is fun and savory to the flesh. We must maintain the importance of our gathering together to worship in spirit and in truth. We must maintain our preaching of the gospel, because that's the only power of God there is unto salvation. And we must contend for what we believe doctrinally, no matter how long it's been we've been believing these things, or how long we'll believe them till Jesus Christ comes. We must worship, we must preach the gospel, and we must contend for the faith. We must worship in spirit and in truth. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. This is where he has placed his name. This is where we gather together to worship. We're not here to have fun, we're here to worship. That's all I'm going to say, and I move on. God help us to never fail to really worship when we come together. We're here to continue to preach and lift up the cross of Jesus Christ. We're not here to come up with something that's more interesting. We're not here to come up with something that's more fun. God has not given us the mission to come up with a new gospel. He's not given us a mission to come up with an easy believe gospel. He's led us to believe in a sovereign God who's in control of all things. He's led us to believe that the sovereign God who is in control of all things has made us a church, preserved us a church, and brought us here to keep on lifting up the gospel of Jesus Christ. No easy believism. It has no place in our church. But we preach the gospel. We preach that Jesus Christ died to save sinners. And guess what? He's going to save everybody that Jesus Christ was sent to save. I seem to gravitate with always saying it this way. Jesus is not, never has, he is not trying to do anything. God is not trying to do anything. He's doing his will and his purpose. He is saving everyone. He has chosen to save everyone. He's written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. He's not trying. He's saving every single one of those that he has chosen. And he is saving them what? Right on time. Right on time. So we don't need a new way of worship. We don't need a new gospel or an easy believe version of it that has man doing it all when man can't do anything. And we don't need more palatable, easy to swallow doctrine. We just need to contend for the doctrine that he's given us to contend for. We're not here to have fun. We're here to worship. We're here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and call sinners to repent. And we're here to contend for the faith once delivered. You can bleed back into the Old Testament. Yes, we acknowledge that. But I believe principally that Jesus Christ delivered truth, the faith, to the apostles, to his church during his personal ministry, and sent it forth. And when we read about contending for the faith once delivered, it was once delivered by Jesus Christ to that first church that he started and is maintained church by church by church and has been maintained church by church by church until this very hour. Wow, that's silly. That's foolishness. Well, then call us silly. There's worse names you can call me. So he said, I'm going to stay on point. In verse number 34, he says, I am Abraham's servant. And then verse 35, we're not going to read them because we have read them previously in reading the story of Abraham's servant and Rebekah's encounter with him. Verse 35 through 48 is just a repeating. God blessed my master Abraham. God blessed him and Sarah with a son, the promised seed. God led Abraham to have me swear to go and seek a wife, and I've gone to seek that wife for my master Abraham's son, and this is what's happened in my journey, and this is what's happened in relationship to Rebekah being made known, and so on and so on and so forth. As we read in the last portion of Scripture, verse 15 through 28, verse 27, maybe in particular, verse 26 and 27. When Rebekah is made known unto him, he bows his head. He worships the Lord. He blesses, he praises the Lord of his master Abraham. And he acknowledges God's hand in all of this. And he says in verse number 49, verse we did read this morning, after saying, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to take leisure, I'm not going to take pause until I've told you my mission, they say, speak on. He relates his mission in details to them in verse 35 through 48. And after doing that, he says in verse 49, and now if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, focus is on Abraham. He's the servant. Tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. I want to tell you all the details. After telling him all the details, now he says, is the deal set? Is the deal set? Is this indeed the woman that God has provided for Isaac, my master's son, to become wife? Are you going to deal kindly with my servant, my master Abraham? You going to approve of this marriage? If not, then I need to be looking for someone else. If not, I'm mistaken and I need to get back on the task. He's still not going to eat this meal and take this leisure until he knows he's got the woman that God had provided for Isaac. If you're going to deal kindly with my servant Abraham, good. But if you're not, and you're not going to approve of this, I'm going to go find the one that is thy will, or God's will. Let me know here and now. I see in that 49th verse a very powerful word, now. He recounts all these details and he says, now, if you will deal kindly with my master Abraham, tell me, let me know we have a deal. Let me know my search is over. Then I'll take a meal. Then we'll pack up the camels and then we'll make the 500-mile trip back for Isaac and Rebekah to become man and wife. Let me know now. And in this 34th through 48th verse, he's not going to rest until he relays the message. And in this thought of staying on point, he wanted to stay on point. He wanted it to be clear that he wasn't there for fun. He was there to find the promised woman for Isaac, Abraham's son. He must relay the mission. He must relay these details to them. And he wants confirmation that indeed Rebekah will go with him to become Isaac's wife. We see this thought of staying on point, his not being there for fun, and his need to relay the message. And there's just a point I want to make in application to us. Us as a church and us as members of Faith Baptist Church, God help you, God help me, God help us as members of Faith Baptist Church to stay on point. God help us as individuals to stay on point so that hopefully we as a congregation will stay on point. God help us as members of Faith Baptist Church to realize and to be reminded we're not here to have fun, we're here to worship, we're here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're here to contend for the faith. So that as we do this as individuals, as a congregation, we do all of these things. And as we apply this last thought, as he says there in verse number 49, now, if the deal is made, make it clear, let me know now, or else I go looking for another. He wasn't going to rest until he relayed his message. You know, as a member of Faith Baptist Church, you have a message. One thing that has not changed since the creation of time, man is still sinning, and men are still dying. And the most sobering song I think I've ever heard. So sobering. I almost cringe. And sometimes I get weak in the flesh, and it's the last song I want to hear at a conference, or it's the last song I want to hear when I'm in church. And that song is "People Need the Lord." Because the song thought and melody kind of goes along the lines of, all around us people are dying. And they're going to either heaven or hell. As you sit here in this church, all around you are people who are either saved or lost, but all are sinners. All around you, all around us, as we're gathered here this morning, there's people who we might not see next week. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. All around you, as you get out of this place and you go to your get-togethers and you get to your gatherings, or you go to work during the week ahead of you, you're surrounded by people who need the Lord. They're lost and they're dying and they need the Lord. And you have a message to relay unto them. But will you? Will I? It's a song that I think is very rebuking to me. Especially as you sit in church, air conditioning and heat in the winter and padded pews, and all around us people are dying and going to hell. And what do they need? They need the Lord. And they need a message that you and I have that we're charged with relaying unto them. But are we? Do we? People need the Lord. That's a fact. Well, who has the Lord appointed to give them the message? You. If you name the name of Jesus Christ, me. Those of us who say we're saved by the grace of God. God has chosen us to relay the message. Did we find anybody this past week to relay it to? Or do we have to bow our heads in shame and say, yeah, people need the Lord and they need the message that God's given me, but I'm not relaying it. I'm not going to rest. I'm not going to take my ease until I relay my message. Folks, we have a message as individual Christians we're responsible to deliver. And we have a message to relay to the lost of this world as a New Testament Baptist church. Are we doing anything with it? Do we have the determination of this servant to relay the message God has given to us? One thing you can say about this servant of Abraham, he stayed on point. He stayed on point. He didn't make this long trip to get a little sun. He didn't take this long trip because he wanted to have some fun. But he takes this long trip because he has a message to relay in hopes of bringing Rebecca back to Isaac. God help us. God help us to stay on point as individuals. And as we as individuals stay on point, God help us as a church to stay on point. God help us to realize everything we do spiritually should be fun. We should enjoy it, but that's not why we're here. We're here to worship in spirit and in truth, because God seeks such to worship him. We're here to preach the gospel because that's man's only hope the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're here to contend for the faith and to teach, as the Great Commission says, them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. God, help us to stay on point. God, help us to understand why we're really here, what our mission is. God, help us to relay that message that the world so desperately needs. And in my own feeble way, I've tried by the grace of God to relay to you, my lost friend, the message. The message that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When John saw Jesus coming, he said, "There's the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." I have tried in my own feeble way to relay to you the message that I'm charged with relaying to sinners, that I'm charged as pastor of this church, that we're charged as a New Testament Baptist church, we're charged in relaying to others. I've tried to relay it to you. Now what are you going to do with it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come believing. He'll save your soul. He really will. Let's stand. Have a verse of song.